And time once again for Nature Notes. Speaking of time, it is exactly 7:11 Central Standard Time. We're awaiting Jim Gilbert's phone call for more Nature Notes. But in the meantime, Denny Law here, some fall birding tips from our friends Pam and Lee at Cardinal Quarter. They remind us to keep out those bird baths. And don't forget to put out white millet to attract migrating birds, too. And please, they always say, too, to keep those bird feeders clean to prevent diseases. Now, if you are starting your holiday gift shopping already, I know a lot of people are, you've got to stop by Cardinal Corner. They have such a huge selection of beautiful bird baths, nature gifts, unique art, handbags, jewelry. You wouldn't think so, but they do. They have all this stuff. Home and kitchen decor. You really have to see this store for yourself. And you're going to find yourself browsing for quite some time and shopping for quite a while, too. The birds, they love that seed from Cardinal Corner. It is the freshest, from 1 pound to 50-pound bags. They make custom mixes as well. Cardinal Corner is open 7 days a week. Stop in, see Lee and Pam in West St. Paul, Butler in South Robert. Amy's at the Newport Center. You can call them, 651-455-6556, or again online at cardinalcorner.com. Get that monthly newsletter. Subscribe online at cardinalcorner.com. Cardinal Corner, more than just a bird seed store. There he is. Good morning, Jim.
Yes, I was out in the rain.
Now, what were you doing out in the rain?
Trying to get the temperature.
Well, I can tell you, at least officially, it's 37 here in the Twin Cities.
All right, well, we've got 38. And light rain falling, 38. Many dark-eyed juncos at our feeding station here in the northwest side of Lake Waconia, about 30 miles west of downtown Minneapolis. And what I was going to do is read the rain gauge, but I couldn't do it. I had to hurry up and get in and call Danny.
Well, we're glad you did.
Yeah. Oh, see, daylight saving time ended 2 a.m. this morning. So everybody needs to set their clocks back an hour. Sunrise, 6:56. So the sun's up. Sunset. This evening, I should say afternoon, 4:57. So today in the Twin Cities area, we have 10 hours and 1 minute of daylight. We are losing daylight at the rate of about, a few seconds less than 3 minutes per day, and have lost 20 minutes of daylight since last Sunday, and 5 hours and 35 minutes is a total of daylight lost since the summer solstice on June 21st. Today, November 4th, we have about the same amount of daylight within 2 minutes as last February 5th. Normal high for today is 48. Normal low is 32. Records for today, November 4th in the Twin Cities, high was reached 43 years ago, 1975, 74 degrees. And the record low for this date, Danny, I was surprised when I saw this one, -3.
Wow. When was that?
Now it all makes sense because I looked it up. 1991, and that's right after the Halloween snowstorm that dumped over 28 inches of snow on the Twin Cities. So the earth had really cooled down. And very cold at night, -3 on this date, 1991. The most precipitation that's fallen on this date, 0.61 inches, 1988. And the most snow, 1 inch in 1910. We have a waning crescent moon that rose this morning at 3:11. That's about time Denny gets up.
And that's pretty close, yeah.
Pretty close, okay. You'd be late if you got up that late. Okay, and sets this afternoon at 3:56, but I don't think anybody around is going to see this crescent moon today. At least in this area, CCO land. Our next full moon, though, is Thanksgiving Day, November 22nd. Lots of things happening outdoors, though. Statewide farmers labor to finish up the combining of corn and other field work. Southern Minnesota farmers this past week harvested the last crop of lush green alfalfa. I saw a couple of big fields. that were cut. Lombardy poplar trees, that's from Lombardy, the northern part of Italy. Lombardy poplar trees display beautiful golden yellow leaves. Weeping willows have about 30% sunny yellow foliage. The rest is still green. And weeping willows, by the way, are from Asia. Denny and Lynn Havlicek from Havlicek Orchard, located 6 miles northeast of New Prague, report that they are still picking Keepsake, Harrelson, and Fireside apples. Denny picked the last of their season broccoli from the garden yesterday, and he said that the cold temperatures this coming Thursday could end the apple picking season. 27 degrees for a few hours won't harm the apples, but 32 or a couple of degrees below that for a day will do a huge amount of damage, and that will end the season. It's been a good season, though. Really great.
Really has.
Wonderful apples. Oh. Our next-door neighbors, Dave and Peggy Phelps, have two late-season apple trees, a Harrelson and a Honeygold. The Harrelson tree has fruit that's red, juicy, with a great taste. Honeygold, yellow apple, juicy, and sweet. Love them. Late yesterday afternoon, 3-year-old Sylvia Phillip and 5-year-old David Phillip and I picked a Harrelson apple off the tree and a Honeygold. And we were in their grandparents' backyard eating these apples. It was just great, just fresh off the tree. The three of us just enjoyed this. And at the same time, we're looking at a large ginkgo tree in their yard dropping its yellow leaves. Fun outdoor experiences. Lawn mowing is about done for the year. December forests of native trees Deciduous forests of native trees are nearly bare and have been for about a week. Non-native landscape trees such as Norway maples, European larches, the Lombardy poplars, and weeping willows have attractive tones of golden yellow foliage. American beech trees have golden brown leaves, and scarlet oaks display foliage in rich browns and bright reds. All these non-native and trees and more can be seen at the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum, where these and others provide pockets of fall color. So there's still these pockets of fall color if you look around. American witch hazel shrubs have lost nearly all of their leaves. They say 99% are gone, making their clusters of yellow spider-like flowers easy to see. This shrub is a native to parts of southeastern Minnesota and can also be seen at the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. It's the last shrub of the year to come into bloom. It's time for us to begin hearing the muffled musical whistles of the tundra swans and see them in their big V's overhead, a wonderful sign of fall. They are coming from their summer range, which is mainly north of the Arctic Circle, and heading for their winter range along the Atlantic coast. A good place to see hundreds, sometimes thousands of tundra swans is the Mississippi River and its backwaters near Minnesota, that's in Wabasha County, and also just south of Brownsville, that's way down in southeastern Minnesota. These are places where tundra swans feed on water plants and rest. Last year, by November 7th, an estimated 9,000 tundra swans had arrived on the Mississippi River and backwaters 3 miles south of Brownsville, where there's an overlook. Many people try to get to that overlook in the fall, these next couple of weeks, to see the tundra swans. Huge flocks of common grackles and red-winged blackbirds and long black rivers of life travel from roost to feeding areas in the morning and back again at sunset. Much of the information I'm using this morning on sunrise and set, and weather history and astronomy and phrenology. This information is available in the Freshwater Society's Minnesota Weather Guide Environment Calendars. The 2019 editions of both wall and engagement calendars are available in many book, gift, and wild bird stores throughout Minnesota, such as Content in Northfield, Cub Food Stores in multiple locations, the General Store in Minnetonka, Headwaters Science Center at Bemidji, and if people would like to order one online, you can do so at freshwater.org, just simply freshwater.org. I have many reports from people. Julie Brophy from Victoria reports, Tuesday, November 1st was possibly the last day of the season to see eastern painted turtles. She saw two sunning up on logs along the shore of Kelzer Pond there in Victoria. On Friday, November 2nd, a great blue heron was hunting along the shore of Kelzer Pond. Fox and white-throated sparrows, dark-eyed juncos, mourning doves, common grackles, red-winged blackbirds, and one eastern chipmunk. Anyway, they were all feeding on seeds on the ground below the feeders. Flying squirrels visit Julie and Bill's feeding station at night. Julie Brophy and Elizabeth Howard from Journey North report that as of November 1st, no monarchs were seen in and around the wintering sanctuaries in the state of, and I'll let Danny say it, Michoacán. They're expected there any day now. And I'm looking out over our by-the-yard furniture, and it looks just sparkly this morning with the rain falling on it.
Still looks brand new after all these years. Jim, and I love this furniture. For folks that are not familiar with it, By the Yard makes, and it's a family-run business, still is, down near Jordan, Minnesota. They make outdoor furniture. That's all they do, and it's maintenance-free, as I said, and probably the same with Jim. What attracted me to it 18 years ago or more was that you didn't have to store it. And it's a good thing, too, Jim. As you know, it's pretty substantial furniture. You don't have to keep lifting. But somebody reminded me yesterday, you know, tell folks it's comfortable, too. It really is. And I read this last week, too, that on average, Jim, people replace their patio sets every 2 to 3 years. You don't have to do that with By the Yard. You keep adding to them. And at this time of year, it's a great holiday gift. If you can't pick out something for somebody, give them a gift card. We'll talk more about that. But best prices, best variety. And Jim, listen to this. You know how substantial the furniture is, as I said. But By the Yard will deliver fully assembled furniture delivered for just $49 from St. Cloud to Rochester. How about that? $49.
Oh, I know.
And
I know.
Once you experience the By the Yard, the Jim and I tell you about every, but you will never buy anything else. Experts in the industry, as I said, that's all they do. A visit that Jordan showroom, Jim and I have been there a number of times. Easy drive down 169. Or get on the web if you like. They'll send you a free catalog, and it's got directions and colors and all this stuff. Visit bytheyard.net and see what Jim and I have talked about for ages here about that great CCO Land Company. Good
comes
stuff.
In, what, nine different colors?
Nine different colors, yeah.
Sometimes they'll put two colors together.
Yeah, you can have special things made at no extra charge either, so that's kind of a neat deal. All right, Jim, we have about 5 minutes or so to go.
Yeah, well, Tom and Lisa Bovers from Faribault report that there are lots of cedar waxwings in their backyard, and now up to about 200 of these birds. They're eating hackberry seeds and juniper berries and drinking from their two bird baths. Pine siskins have started coming to Tom and Lisa's thistle feeder and to the bird bath. On October 29th, that would be last Monday, Tom identified four different gull species, ring-billed, herring, and Franklin's, and Bonaparte's, around local lakes like Cannon, Mazaska, and Roberts in the Faribault area. On Friday, November 2nd, he spotted his first of the season American tree sparrows. They were mixed in with a flock of fox sparrows and dark-eyed juncos in a grassy patch along a gravel road. And I should say, American tree sparrows are interesting birds. Anybody who's a bird bander has to work on a project. And I don't have my bird banding permit anymore, but when I had it, my project was working on American tree sparrows. So they go from here, they winter in this area, and further, some further south, but they go from here way into Canada for nesting in the summertime. And the interesting thing is, I've had them return to the same feeding station year after year after year, after traveling probably literally, you know, maybe 1,000 miles or more. Marilyn Eichler from Sauk Rapids, that's about 5 miles east of St. Cloud, reports that some phlox, geraniums, and lemon thyme are still blooming in her yard. Asparagus plants have red berries. Some plants have turned yellow, and some are still green. Blue jays, dark-eyed juncos, and woodpeckers like downy, she's even got a red-headed woodpecker coming, and red-bellied, come to her feeding station. Mary Brislance from Lutzen reports seeing the first rough-legged hawk back. She saw it last Sunday, a week ago. And last year, so that would be the 28th, last year the first one was spotted October 26th. She said that bald eagles continue to migrate down the North Shore. Lapland longspurs and snow buntings continue to be seen in the Lutzen and Grand Marais area. And lately at Grand Marais, in Grand Marais Harbor, she saw two snow geese, and notes that in Grand Marais, pine grosbeaks are back. She spotted a couple of Canada jays in the campground, and European starlings and American robins are feeding on the native mountain ash fruit. And this year, there's a great crop of mountain ash fruit along the North Shore, and the people there are looking forward to seeing many birds feeding on these. And we're kind of thinking cedar waxwings and bohemian waxwings should be back soon. Diane and Dave Herring, who live near Waterville, report seeing waves of blackbirds, no doubt redwings and common grackles, moving through and stopping to glean on harvested cornfields. They had a pair of pileated woodpeckers in their yard on a spruce tree November 1st. Ray and Marlene Simon, who live on the edge of Northfield, report that lately a pair of bald eagles has been guarding their nest. They haven't seen the bald eagles by the nest since the young fledged in June, but now they're back guarding this nest. 16 species of birds are coming to Ray and Marlene Simon's feeding station, including numerous dark-eyed juncos, white-throated sparrows, a fox sparrow, and a red-breasted nuthatch. American robins are busy eating crab apples. Cedar waxwings are eating crab apples and red cedar berries. We also call those juniper berries. And Denny, I should say that this next Saturday and Sunday, November 10th and 11th, I'll be at the Vacation and Travel Experience at the Minneapolis Convention Center from noon to 2 p.m. with Michael Kenny and his company, Defined Destinations. And we'll be talking about upcoming trips, but it's a great show, and a lot of people, I'm sure, will be there.
That's next weekend.
That's next weekend.
At the convention center. Okay, you'll have to tell us about the weekend, about your upcoming trip. Before you go, Jim, a couple of text messages came in while you were talking.
Okay.
Many juncos, it doesn't say where, at my feeder this morning. One has white tail feathers. Susan in Shorewood had a chipmunk at the feeder right now. And another one said, please ask Jim, does loss of daylight happen evenly morning and evening?
No.
All right.
No. It's not. It's not even, and I don't know why.
Right.
You know, I
let's do some research this week.
Yeah.
Let's do
our
that.
Our astronomy professor told us that, and I don't know the reason why.
Well, tell us next week after you find out. Interesting.
If you find out.
All right, Jim, have a good week.
You too.
Good deal.
Thank you. We'll talk to you
next week. Jim Gilbert. Bye. Back next Sunday morning with more Nature Notes here on News Talk 830 WCCO.